From the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Hi, Troy.
Hello, how are you?
I am so good.
Excellent. I thought you didn't like being teased.
I don't.
Oh, okay.
But I'm still in happy spirits because nothing will tear me down.
Oh, Alice is so mean, what she was saying just a minute ago.
It was you.
Oh, was it?
Don't try and be the good guy on air.
Okay, so let's get into today. Today is some real cool things.
Yeah.
And in fact, I brought two of the records in for you to look at because I know you like looking at
pictures. I really do. I think it makes such a difference.
It does. Okay, so should we go for the first one, which I didn't bring the record in? Okay?
No.
And it's and because Alice said we're in a hurry today, I'm going to have to read the title very fast because it's a new soul jazz compilation.
Cool.
Therefore, they're being very specific. Soul Jazz presents Studio One Rock Steady Volume 2, The Soul of Young Jamaica, Rock Steady, Soul and Early Reggae. It's a 2-LP set.
Wow. They are really specific, aren't they?
They are. And I think that's good because in a way you can say, you know, people think that Rocksteady finished one night and the next morning reggae started. It's not the case.
Can you give me I can't really think of what I should hear when I hear you say Rocksteady.
Rocksteady, it's a slower tempo than reggae.
Okay.
It's a slower tempo than ska. It's kind of when, well, if you think of early ska as being influenced by American R&B, you can probably think of Rocksteady being influenced more by American soul.
Okay.
Okay. These things aren't, you know, there's no defined borders to what
no,
any
I know,
of
but
music is. But
it must have originated from somewhere.
Well, it did.
Taken from something.
Yeah. So Rocksteady, basically you could say that was kind of the mid-60s dominant form in Jamaica.
Cool.
But it didn't just stop in the mid-60s. If we say that the first reggae record happened in 1968, for example, there's argument as to which one it is, but there was still Rocksteady music being made. Nothing, like I said, nothing just switched overnight. Now, the tune, this is a really great compilation, actually. It goes up to, I think, 1971 or 72, this material.
And when does it start?
I would say the earliest one on here would be 1965.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got Alton Ellis on here, Slim Smith, Jerry Jones, Cannon and the Soul Vendors.
Cool.
The Paragons with the great Hooligan Change Your Style, the Gay Lads, the Soul 2. Couple of tunes from Delroy Wilson. So this
such good names,
aren't they? Just
yeah,
some big names on there. But the one we're going to listen to is not one that people will immediately jump to. I don't think when their eyes are looking down. Carlton and the Shoes. Carlton and the Shoes. Carlton Manning was the guy's name, apparently he was going to call his band Carlton and the Shades. But Cox and Dodd at Studio One noticed that he was quite obsessed with footwear,
right,
and decided it wasn't going to be Carlton and the Shades, it was going to be Carlton and his Shoes.
And why did you choose this track out of the whole album?
Partly because this is not one that, you know, it's a really great tune, but it's not one that's familiar to everybody. And also, I think it's one of the great undiscovered soulful records.
Cool.
Carlton and the Shoes, they started off, well, Carlton started off with Mrs. Pottinger and did one single with on High Life, I think. Either way, but he moved to Cox and Dodd's Studio One soon after that and had a really big hit with Love Me Forever. Now, the flip side of Love Me Forever was something called Happy Land.
Mm.
Happy Land basically became the rhythm of Satumasagana by the Abyssinians. Coincidentally, the Abyssinians were involved two of his brothers, one of whom was one of Carlton's Shoes.
So were there only two? So Carlton and his Shoes, does that mean there were two other people?
Well, generally...
Was it like a trio?
Yeah. Although I think it was a trio initially with Alexander Henry. I don't think Donald Manning, Carlton, one of Carlton's brothers, was involved right at the beginning. But certainly Linville, his other brother, was. Remember, in Jamaica in the 60s, when you heard a name like the Wailers, you weren't hearing about a whole group. You were hearing about the vocal elements of the group. The same way the Temptations on Motown, for example, you were thinking of the singers, not the musicians.
Right, okay.
Okay, so Carlton and His Shoes, the tune we're going to hear is a great one from the new Soul Jazz Studio One Rocksteady album. It is called, what is it called? I can't remember what it's called. Oh, it's called Never Let Go.
Okay, I'm going to have to find it because I actually...
It's number 3.
There we are. Let's listen to it. Sorry, my mic just fell off. That's why we had a moment of brief silence.
Yeah, some people might have said, I recognise that song. It's Forever and Always. Yeah, they did remake it as Forever and Always. Mm. Carlton didn't know that behind his back, Cox and Dodd was releasing a lot of their stuff in England through the 70s. This is a common thing in Jamaica. This
really?
Happened. Yes.
Does it still happen? Not as much.
No, not so much anymore. But he had no idea till 1981 when Dennis Brown took him to Britain and he found out that that he was quite famous.
Mm.
And, you know, Capital Radio interviewed him and everything.
Yeah.
He didn't know.
And he was like, "Why? How do they know who I am?"
Yeah, you know, it said like for that big hit that I talked about, Love Me Forever, he was told that 4,000 were sold. But he knew one of the guys who worked in the pressing plant who reckoned that 18,000 had been pressed and sold. But, yeah, rip-offs used to happen all the time.
Is it harder to do these days?
Rip-offs?
Yeah.
No, I think people find trickier ways to rip people off, don't they? Mm. But either way, that there, I think that's fantastic. The whole compilation, double LP, is great stuff. But that one there...
It was lovely. And I was really shocked at how incredible the falsetto of the voices.
I think that was Linville doing that great falsetto. Mm. He used it in the Abyssinians too.
It's powerful.
Isn't it great?
It's kind of mind-boggling as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in a good way.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, we'll move along to the next compilation we have this week, which is also released tomorrow. Now, this one here, yes, it's that one.
This one looks so appealing to me.
Now, it's Gabriel Pozo presents The Languages of Tambore, right?
A spiritual journey through the cultural heritage of drums.
There you go. Now, Gabriel Pozzo is a man from Sardinia, a multi-instrumentalist guy. He studied percussion in Cuba and in Puerto Rico. He's put out a couple of records already. I think he's often considered to be kind of sort of a new jazz guy, but jazz in a particular way. I guess world jazz is what people would say. I really don't know what they would say. But what he's done is, as the title says, Languages of Tambores, which is the drum language. It's his impression of how drums and particular kinds of music has been used as the main communication tool, right? Now, immediately, before you fall asleep and think we're talking about anthropology and stuff like that, it's not that way.
I'm sorry, before you fall asleep and...
I could see you going, Troy talking about that boring stuff again.
No, do you know what one of my majors is, Troy?
No, I don't.
Anthropology.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, how marvellous.
Jeepers. You need to learn more before you...
Me?
You talk about anthropology.
I don't learn nothing ever. I ain't learned nothing that didn't come from records. So what we have on this comp, we have things like Bobby Matos and the Heritage Ensemble. That's Bobby Matos is a New York Latin player, and that's a tune from the 90s which is on there. There's something from the Free Association, which they put out 2 years ago on a 12-inch. There is the great Babatunde Olatunji, who so influenced John Coltrane before he died that...
Really?
A record was named after him, yep. Who else is on there?
So, Gabriel Pozzo, how did he collect all these different songs?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like I said, he's a multi-instrumentalist himself who studied music in a couple of different countries.
Brilliant.
I don't know, I guess this is just the kind of stuff that sums up what he thought... or what he thinks drum communication has been over the last, you know, however long.
Mm.
And the one we're going to play is one by Gabriel Pozzo himself.
Cool.
And I think the reason for doing that, it's like, you know, it's all well and good when you've got really great taste and can put together a fantastic record like this. But to really know what it is that you're trying to communicate by a collection of other people's songs, I think you've got to hear what you're doing yourself.
Right.
And the one that he's put on here, Café du Ochun, oh, I don't even know how to say that. But I think this here, it sort of, you know, gives you an entry point into his perspective.
And then from there you can kind of travel through the other songs and make up ideas yourself on why you think he chose it or... Yeah, what you hear?
In fact, I also didn't tell you that there's a couple of things on here where there's current remixes of tunes.
Cool.
The Free Association one that I talked about, it's in here in an edit by someone called Leifa, whereas the Solo Akinbola tune has been re-edited by Kiko Navarro. Now, on the CD version, the originals of those two tunes are there as well. However, on this double LP, we just have the remixes, which I think, again, is like an insight into what you're supposed to be communicated to, if you know what I mean. Shall we hear Gabrielle's track?
Yeah, I would love to.
I think it's on turntable one.
Okay. Let's see if we can hear anything.
I hear nothing.
I still hear nothing.
Have you turned it on?
Yeah, Troy, I have. 1200?
Yeah.
It's
turned up.
Yep.
Well, while Hannah's over there doing that, I will tell you that it's been released on the BBE label, and like I said, it's going to be on the shelves in Southbound tomorrow. Have you got it there, Hannah?
No.
You had it a second ago.
Oh.
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you.
the humour of that ridiculous monkey sample.
Yeah, that Microsoft Windows particular monkey thing. I don't know why that's there. Gabriel Poso will know the answer.
It's really nice to hear a piece of music where the drums are like the central focus.
Did you like the polyrhythms?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I did like the polyrhythms.
Well, if you like the music where drums are the central focus, then this double album is for you. But I'm not giving it to you. But yeah.
No. That would be nice. But I think it's great to be able to kind of pick up something like this and just kind of really listen to some drums.
Yeah, I mean, and what's made clear by the fact that those two remixes on there is the fact that basically, and it's on the BBE label, is this the kind of music to dance to? Well, yes.
It can be the kind of music that you can do whatever you want.
I think so.
With.
The Languages of Tambores is the name of the compilation. What did you say it was? A spiritual journey.
That's what it says, a spiritual journey through the cultural heritage of drums.
There you go.
It's pretty nice.
Some good stuff on there.
Yeah.
Now, the next compilation we're going to look at is also out tomorrow. Since 1993, I think, there has been a K7. The K7 label has been doing a series called DJ Kicks, where they've invited a DJ to like basically do a mix album.
And this is one.
This is one. This is, in fact, I think it must be the 50 something.
Wow.
50. There's probably been over 50 anyway.
This guy looks pretty suave.
Now, that suave man you're referring to is Matthew Deer. Now, Matthew Deer is one of those people who's a bit too good at doing a bunch of things.
Right.
He does sort of techno under the name of Audion, and he does a different kind of techno under another name, which is Jabberjaw, I think. But also he's made his own albums under the name Matthew Deer, which are situated slightly more towards the sort of left-field skewed electronic pop end of things. He also is the guy that started the label Ghostly International.
Right.
So he's one of those people that does loads of things. So he's a good choice to do a DJ Kicks. And straight out of the gate on this one, it's like you get the feeling that this is not the same DJ Kicks we have every time, although it never is, you know. But he starts off with a Nils Fram tune.
Oh.
And it's not a remix Nils Fram tune. It's basically just a Nils Fram and the piano. That's how this DJ kick starts. And if you think that's like an odd starting, it kind of gets odder from there.
So, hold on, just rewind a second. So this record is just the artist's choice of music that they want to...
Yes, mix together. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but they don't actually do anything to the actual piece of music. Do you get what I mean?
Well,
they're not changing it.
They're not covering it or anything.
No.
You know, there might be samples put in there near the end and
okay.
in the crossfades and everything. But no, they're basically doing like a mix.
Mm-hmm.
And which is what the DJ Kicks thing is,
cool.
has been about. There's been some real famous ones. The Kruder and Dorfmeister one, which we recently got back in stock, has been the last almost 20 years.
Wow.
People have been continually buying that one. It really works. And anyway, let's get back to Matthew Deer's
yes.
one before I get too distracted. I said it starts really weird. It kind of gets weirder. There's Creon doing a CeeLo Soul, which is kind of sort of in the jazzish dance end of things. There's a remix of Gwilym Gold and Dr. Nika doing Lust for Sale, which is kind of creepy and kind of weird. There's
you're not selling it very well.
No, I mean, but this is good. That's great. That's how things should
okay,
be.
Cool.
On the CD version, there's Audion. There's three Audion tracks, which is Matthew Deer under his techno sort of guise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually much harder techno than usual. It's still minimal like he always does, but it's like fairly hard hitting. Some real cool stuff on here, even a house banger. How do
cool.
you like that? But the way that it starts, that his mix starts with Nils Fram and then ends with DJ Carlab and Baba Sissoko, I think it's really cool. But again, it's like, to me, what's the good idea you have with something like this? The good idea is, let's find something that you've done which kind of contextualizes it all.
Mm-hmm.
So on here, Matthew Dear has done his first track under his own name for quite a few years now. I'm just looking for the CD inside here, which has the entire mix. I can't find it, and that doesn't matter. And so Matthew Dear has done a tune called Wrong With Us. Now, he did this with Simeon Mobile Disco, who also appear on the CD version. You get the CD version inside the double album version. He did this one, and he said that in a day or so, they'd completed four songs. So it's Matthew Dear with Simeon Mobile Disco, Wrong With Us, and I don't know if you'd say that it's a political commentary of the time. I guess you could read that into it. I think it's a commentary on the way people think.
Okay.
And so that's the one we'll hear, Matthew Dear, Wrong With Us. It's from his latest DJ Kicks.
Hopefully this works.
Ooh. Sounds like...
Thank you.
From the Crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street, next to T. White Spikes.